What you believe, if you really believe it, will always control what you do. If you really believe it in the natural realm, then it will control that you act on it.
Dr. Tony Evans explains the relationship between real faith and actions.
In order for faith to work, it must be practiced. James 2:14, faith without works is useless.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. We say God can do anything, but we don't always choose to act on that belief. Today, Dr. Evans explains how to know that God is at work in your life and how others can recognize your genuine faith. And later on, I'll tell you how you can get Volume 1 of this sermon series on stewardship as our gift. So be sure to stay with us. Right now, though, let's join Dr. Evans.
I am sure that many of you are quite familiar with the apocryphal story of the man who slid over the cliff only to grab a branch at the last second dangling over the deep precipice below. He screamed out with a loud voice, "Help me! Somebody help me!" And a voice came out of the sky. "Do you believe that I can help you?" To which he responded, "Yes, help me. Do you believe that I have the power to help you?" "Yes, I believe, but help me." "Do you believe I love you enough to help you?" "Yes, I know you love me. Help me, help me." "Then because you believe that, I will help you. Let go." To which he responded, "Is there anybody else up there?" I want to first deal with the principle of faith. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me start with verse 6, then work my way back to verse 1 of Hebrews 11. "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For him who comes to God must believe that he is. And they must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." If you're going to do this faith thing, don't play with it. Without it, you're wasting your spiritual time and the windows of heaven will stay closed for you. Because it's impossible to please God, and God is not about to open up any windows for people who don't please him. Verse 1 gives it, some call it a definition, others call it a description, but here it is. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Brothers and sisters, faith is the gateway between the visible and invisible realm. It accepts as good as done that which God has said. Some of the older versions say that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What he is simply saying is that faith gives reality. The word assurance or substance literally means stuff or raw material. Faith is the raw material, watch this now, of the thing that you hope for. The hope for, the desire, the conviction of things not seen. The problem is not that the thing that you're trusting God for isn't there. The problem is you don't see it. Jesus told his generation in Matthew 13:58 that unbelief kept them from seeing the miraculous hand of God. So the principle of faith is that which reaches across time and space and grabs what is invisible and brings it back to the visible realm. Secondly, the power of faith. Turn your Bibles with me to Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 22. And let's see what the instructions of Jesus is about faith. "And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. For if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you of your transgressions. Jesus says, have faith in God. Now, please don't misread this, because this is where people get mixed up. They want to have faith in faith. That's where the problem is, right there. And so they try to conjure up faith. Jesus said in John 17, 20, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, does Jesus expect us to go to mountains and tell the mountains to move? Well, let me help you with this. Mountains in the Bible were used to refer to immovable objects or obstacles in the life. Zechariah 4:7. That's why he tells you to have faith in God, because it's too big for you. The issue, hear me out now, the issue of the power of faith resides in the person of God, not in the amount of your faith. The priority next of faith. Now look at this, Luke 16, verse 11. If therefore you have been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will entrust true riches to you? Now that's deep. God says money is not true riches. Did you see that? If you're not proper in your use of unrighteous mammon, money, then who will give you real riches? Referring to spiritual riches. Now watch this now. Verse 12. And if you are not faithful in the use of that which belongs to somebody else, who will give you that which is your own? Now watch. God is saying, when you come to me for true riches, don't get on your knees and say, Lord, bless me in this spiritual area if I couldn't trust you with the physical area, because I know you're going to abuse the spiritual like you did the physical. So if you're not honoring the Lord with your money, don't expect your prayers to be answered. Ooh. Get up off your knees and stop praying. You're wasting your time. Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. That takes faith. Casting your bread was putting your investment on a merchant ship that crossed the Mediterranean Sea, that took it to the east somewhere in order to sell it, and you waited for the return of the sails to come back across the sea from the ship for the sale of your produce, from the grain that you baked and all the stuff that was taken over across the sea. Now here's the problem, picture this. You're standing on the dock, you farmed your grain and your wheat, your bread, you put it in sacks, and you deliver it to the ship that leaves the port, and after 20 minutes, you can no longer see the ship again, and it's quite possible that your bread could be gone for good, because the ship has been moving out on the water. God says, do you believe that this ship is coming back? Do you believe that if you invest in that which is eternal, that I'm going to take your bread, deliver it somewhere else, and not tell a ship, come back to you? That's the question. Cast your bread into the water, that is, the ship that is delivering it across the water, and after many days, how many days? I don't know. That's between God and you. But after many days, he says, you will find it. In other words, when you honor God in what is his, and then when you use the rest properly, he's free to trust you with more. The issue is he the priority? That's why the Bible says, whatever you wish men to do for you, you do for them first. It takes faith. You've got to take faith. You got to reach out there to the unseen. It takes faith. Fourthly, the practice of faith. I take medicine that my doctor prescribes for me because I trust him. Suppose I said, Doc, I trust you, but I don't think I'm going to take this medicine. And then trust becomes a word that means nothing. In order for faith to work, it must be practiced. James 2:14, faith without works is useless. When you read the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, and then it tells you what somebody did, not what they talked about doing. By faith. When God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, by faith, he left. By faith, when God told Noah to build a ship on dry land and look like a fool, the Bible says, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, when God told the harlot Rahab to take in the spies, it says, by faith, she took them in. Faith, in order to work, must produce action, not discussion. Remember the man who was there on his bed, he couldn't get up and walk. Jesus was preaching in the house, but he couldn't break through the crowd. So he got his buddies to lift up his pallet, go on top of the roof, cut a hole in the roof, drop him down through the roof. And guess what the Bible says? It says, and when Jesus saw their faith. Now, what faith of yours does God get to see? Not here you say, Lord, I trust you with my life. What faith does he get to see? To see. In order for faith to be validated, it must be proven. It's like the guy who was the tightrope walker across Niagara Falls. He walked and he'd have this barrel, and he said, how many people believe, first of all, I can walk across the falls without falling? Everybody said, we believe. He walked across, walked back. He then took a barrel. How many believe I can take this barrel across Niagara Falls without falling? We believe. And they went and he took the barrel across. How many believe that I can take a man in the barrel and walk him across Niagara Falls without falling? We believe. Sir, would you come in? Uh-uh. Faith is not believing that he can do it. Faith is entrusting yourself to him to do it. You must act on it before it has been validated to be faith. Proverbs 11:24 says, the soul that scattereth is the soul that receives, but the soul that withholds will not be blessed. It is when you start giving your 10%, which is the minimum God requires as his tithe, as what belongs to him. When you do it first, before you do anything else, you say, but I have bills. Yes, and God is your first one. Whenever he's not the first one, then you cover the shortfall.
And when that happens, extraordinary things begin to take place. Dr. Evans will talk about some of them when he returns in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about a great follow-up resource for our current series on stewardship. It's a daily devotional book called 30 Days to Financial Victory. Each day for a month, you'll get insights from Dr. Evans on why nothing we have is really our own, what money is for, what God wants us to do with it, and the rewards that come with managing our finances His way. There's also a money management tip of the day that'll lead you step by step toward financial freedom. It's yours with our thanks when you call or go online and support the Ministry of the Alternative with a gift of any amount. Along with that, we'll send you all 8 full-length messages in Volume 2 of our current series, Principles of Christian Stewardship, on CD. Visit us today at tonyevans.org to take advantage of this special double offer before it runs out tomorrow. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have our contact information again for you later on. But right now, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
What you believe, if you really believe it, will always control what you do. See, if you really believe it in the natural realm, then it will control that you act on it. Well, that's the same thing in the spiritual realm. If you really believe God, you're going to act on what He says because you believe Him. You are hearing my voice today because my voice is being amplified, right? When I just speak in a normal tone, you still hear me, not because I'm speaking that loud, but because something is taking it and making it louder. Our sound system is amplifying it, so my normal voice grows a lot bigger than my normal voice without ever speaking above my normal voice, because something else has taken it and delivered it larger. When you take normal, everyday, average faith and inject works into it, it is amplified. That little activity that was based on faith now becomes a mega speaker in heaven. And God now hears your prayers. God now knows you're serious, and you know you're serious. Finally, the perseverance of faith. God may want to do something for you in your life that you want to believe Him for. Don't let circumstances deter you. Ecclesiastes 11:4 He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Don't look at the weather and say, because it looks like it's going to rain, I'm not going to sow any seeds. Don't let circumstances stop you from trusting God. Don't let just because things don't look like they're going to work out, you do nothing. Don't let it because it looks like no way, no how this can't happen. I can show you all through the Bible where God turned can't into cans. Don't let circumstances deter you, church. Secondly, don't let doubt deter you. Mark 9, verse 20. And they brought to him a boy, and there were multitudes, and the Spirit threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to the boy? And he said, it's been happening from childhood. He says, they would throw him both into the fire and the water to destroy him. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy father cried out, ah, and said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Oh, that's good news. When doubt is holding you back, when doubt is pulling you back, you drag doubt to Jesus. Drag doubt to Jesus. Drag doubt to Jesus. You can't control the emotion of doubt, but you can control whether doubt's dragging you or you're dragging doubt. Take doubt to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I have a question in my soul, whether you can do it or not. But I decided not to let the question keep me home. I decided not to let the question keep me away. I dragged my question to Jesus. And the next verse says, and God healed the boy. Don't let doubt stop you. Thirdly, don't let people stop you. Luke chapter 18, verse 35, Jesus is approaching Jericho. There's a blind man sitting at the road begging. He heard the multitude going by and began to cry, who's that? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Verse 38, he called out and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. Shut up. Jesus doesn't have time for you, but he kept crying out all the more. The more folk told him to shut up, the louder he got. And they said, be quiet. He said, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, oh, this is good news, stopped. Jesus stopped, commanded that he be brought to him. And when he had come near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do? And you know what God is asking you today? What do you want me to do? If you're going to call my name, ask me to do something. Don't just call my name so I can hear my name. I know my name. What do you want me to do? He says, look, I want to regain my sight. He didn't say bless me. He didn't say give me a good day. He didn't say help me feel better. He said, this is exactly what I want you to do. I can't see. I want to see. Fix my eyes. He didn't let people stop him. Some of us would say, well, the people don't want Jesus disturbed. You better disturb him if you need him. He said, and the Bible says, Jesus said, verse 42, receive your sight. Your faith has made thee well. Your faith has made thee well. You didn't let people stop you. Don't let circumstances stop you. Don't let doubt stop you. Don't let people stop you. Don't let fear stop you. We don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 17, remember the widow of Zarephath? God told her to feed the preacher. The Bible says, though, that she got shaky because she was down to her last meal. And Elijah came and said, fear not. She was afraid. Fear was stopping her from obeying God because it didn't make logical sense. Now, you seminarians who are here, you preachers that are here, let me tell you your main job. Your main job is to interpose yourself between a person's fear and the fear itself. Your job is to step between that fear and that obedience to God and block the fear so that they can keep on going with the obedience. When you are afraid, call on somebody stronger than you are so that they can overcome your fear because you can't overcome it yourself. The preacher said, I know fear is telling you not to do it, but you obey me even if you don't think you can obey God. Because sometimes the preacher has to stand in the place of God, representing God, because you can't see God, but you can see him. So so that if even if you don't do it because God says it, you do it because the preacher says it. But if the preacher says what God says, God will still honor it because you did what he said anyhow. So get any help you need to do what God says. Don't let people stop. Don't let fear stop you. And finally, Psalm 126, don't let your emotions stop you. Watch verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seeds, he crying, shall indeed come again with a joyful shout, bringing his sheaves with him. You say, okay. Oh, Pastor, I got to give my 10%. I'm crying. Oh, I got to honor the Lord first when I got all these bills, and I'm crying. Okay, cry all you want, but he said, bring your bag with you. God says he'll change those tears into joy. He'll turn those squeals into shouts, and you're going to come back, guess what? Bringing your sheaves with you. That's what he says he's going to do if you have faith. I used to throw my kids up when they were small. I'd throw them up and catch them. Whenever I did that, they'd be scared, you know, until I did it 3 or 4 times. Because after I did it 3 or 4 times, they knew I was going to catch them. And after they knew I was going to catch them, they'd ask me to throw them up. God is throwing some of you up and you're scared. Oh, you're going to catch me, King Jesus. If I trust you like the preacher said, are you going to catch me? Let him throw you up 3 or 4 times. Because after he catches you 3 or 4 times, you're going to say, throw me up, Jesus. Do something else for me. Do something else. Throw me up higher, Jesus. Throw me up higher. Higher. Throw me up higher.
Dr. Tony Evans. And if you're ready for the first time to trust the Lord to forgive your sins and give you eternal life, well, stay with us. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell you how that can happen. First, though, I want to remind you that today's lesson was one of the last installments in our current series called Principles of Christian Stewardship. The complete 2-volume 16-message collection contains insights on investing and prioritizing the resources God gave you, and includes quite a bit of material we haven't been able to present on the air this time around. So be sure to contact us for details about getting a copy on CD or DVD. And don't forget, until tomorrow, we're making Volume 2 of Principles of Christian Stewardship available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll also send you the devotional book, 30 Days to Financial Victory. But again, this double offer expires tomorrow. So be sure to make the arrangements right away at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or let one of our staff members help you by calling us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is always open, so there's never a reason to wait. One more time, dial 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will wrap up our series on stewardship with a look at how to get back on track if you've been mismanaging God's resources. It's an encouraging look at why we're never too far gone for God. Right now, though, he's back with this final thought about what it really means to be a Christian.
You're not a Christian because you're religious or because you go to church or even because you believe in God. You're a Christian because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer. Being religious, doing good works, that's nice, but it's not sufficient when God demands perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So what God has said is, he placed your sin on the cross, on the Christ, and then judged Christ for your sin. If you will go to Christ, he will take Christ's righteousness, which is perfect, and he will credit it to your account. So you will stand before God as though you've never sinned, not because you're sinless, but because you've got a sinless credit on your account. If you will receive Jesus Christ right now, if you will invite him into your life, believing that he died for you and rose for you personally, he will credit your account with perfection because he's already credited your sin on to Jesus Christ. So go to Christ right now and get this free gift of salvation that he's offering to all who come to him for it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.